Welcome to What's Your Baseline Shorts. Here we're going to get a chance to take a second look at what we talked about on last week, What's Your Baseline, but in this way, have a visual look into the APQC-PCF. Now, of course, our good friend Paulie Berger is still here to help take us through what does it mean? How does it work? What does it look like? And what can we do with it? I'm J.M. Rollinson, and Roland Volt and I are going to take a look at this and give you some live commentary as Volt takes us down the road of APQC.
So, J.M., this is awesome. You just run the podcast for yourself. I don't have to do anything. Just sit back and sit on the peanut gallery and give some color commentary.
But you're the peanut gallery. Isn't that what we talked about before?
Yeah, I'm about that age. But by the way, thank you, Moritz, for being back on the show. You know, now fast forward a week later than the audio recording. Hint, 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 we recorded it in sequence. What we like to do is obviously piggyback on what we discussed in the regular podcast episode. And one thing that I really, really like, and you can see it on the screen hopefully soon, is Moritz, a nerd that he is, took the APQC and brought it into a visualization tool. And I think Moritz, hold me honest on that, you have prepared a couple of things that you want to show how to make the APQC framework, quote unquote, live. Is that correct?
Yes, and thank you so much, Roland and JM, for hosting me again on your wonderful podcast. I think the whole point of APQC is of the PCF, the Process Capability Framework, is that it can be overwhelming, right? You're looking at an Excel sheet with so many thousand different rows. And so I took that and I imported it into a visualization tool called the Brain. And this makes it so much more human friendly. So what you see here is we can now easily see that high level APQC PCF looks at the world as being either operating processes or management and support services. So that's non-threatening, right, guys?
Oh yeah, that seems a little bit easier to get my hands around.
Is there more to come, Moritz?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Roland. So obviously, this is a graph database. So clicking on operating processes, you can see that we have, again, a coding that is always at the end of each one of these categories, capabilities. And this is also the area, operating processes is the area that I would like to call out where you have the greatest industry-specific differentiation. Right. So are you public sector? Are you education? Are you healthcare? Are you automotive OEM? This is really where the differences are, where you would find the most differences between different verticals.
And so let's go down in a little bit these sub-capabilities, is that what you call it? It's the sub-capabilities of each level of the PCF.
I'd like to start with one of the bookends, which is develop vision and strategy, which is not a department in many companies. And as you can see here in below the category, I have the process groups. And then as I drill down here, the model starts to give me more information. So you have definitions that are already coded in the model. You have a hierarchy, how everything hangs together. And so you will further drilling down from process into activities, and in some cases into the task level. You can see that it goes pretty deep and allows you to take a look around, again, what is happening within a particular domain of your business. Another thing that we touched upon previously in our extended conversation was the absence of connectivity between activities, between processes. So would like to, given the name of this podcast, would like to pick one, baselining current process performance. So this sits within the strategy and vision capability of the model, right? But you will see that I have added a connection into measure and benchmarking, right? Which is clearly necessary to understand your baseline. And measure and benchmark is a process group that sits within the develop and manage business capabilities.
Right.
And so this is just one example how you need to look left and right. And you need, in whatever tool you're using, you should focus on pulling together at the minimum the tie-in with strategy and vision, how you develop and manage business capabilities. And then oftentimes there's another tie-in if you look again at the level of management and support services, the IT component of it. Right? So you have a capability 8, manage information technology. And again, you have elements of IT business strategy and the IT portfolio, which in this day and age would very likely reflect to the enablers that you're using to automate your business processes. So having this capability or the people behind it, the tooling behind it at the table, wherever you're doing whatever in other areas of the model is highly recommended. And then you would, in this case, so let me just create a random connection here. Again, the IT value criteria, that could be another example where a cross-reference with the baselining efforts would be beneficial, right? So cost versus value, of course, you need a baseline. And in this case, we are falling into another gap of the model or something that you would add above and beyond what the model provides. Once you start your modeling along these lines, it might be necessary to establish a different way how IT benchmarks versus the business output measures, the business KPIs.
Yeah, and then obviously you could also link when the question comes up to, well, how have we implemented this? But you could create links to your end-to-end processes and whatever other artifacts you have created, you know, like a link to your application landscape, right? Your solution architecture for that certain thing. So just as a idea in here that this is not limited to just the APC framework.
Absolutely. And the reason why I like looking at the framework in a graph view is the interconnectedness of different things. So bringing that to life, however you approach it, even if just being able to communicate what you're trying to accomplish and aligning your stakeholders, finding a graphical, a visual view could be highly beneficial in my experience.
Yeah, when you say about aligning stakeholders, that's something we talk about in this podcast, almost every show, which is knowing who needs to be in the room. It feels like this particular visualization style, or at least the idea of the showing the interconnectedness, gives you kind of like that hit list. Who do I need to call when I'm having this conversation? If I'm developing this capability, if I'm addressing it with a program or project, what would be my tangential stakeholders, or even like maybe directly connected stakeholders who will be contributing to it just by virtue of the impact?
Exactly. There's also the tie-in with knowledge management, right? So where do I find the artifacts that exist around this particular topic? And so again, find a way how you can add the information in the absence of a magical Uber tool and respecting your tooling and methodologies that you have in place. As long as you're using the coding consistently. So if you look at the portfolio strategy, the code is 20,660. As long as you're applying the coding consistently across your artifacts, even a plain enterprise search or search in another tool would allow you to pick up these cross references, right? If you use this as an annotation in your documentation, if you have a spreadsheet that lists stakeholders and lines them up with their areas of primary or secondary involvement across the model, as long as you are populating that with information in the taxonomy, including your own additions to the model, right, that you should come up with your own tags, that's a huge value add to just be able to push a button and see what's happening.
Can I ask a brief question about this? Because it's actually something that comes up a lot. The difference between the numbering system, like 8.2, versus the classification number or the code, the 20652. Why do both exist? I kind of have an idea of it, but like if you're looking to focus in on a unique identifier, tell me a little bit about how you use each one of those as an important component of organization.
Yeah, so the numbering just provides a sorting of a view, right? So if you look at this chapter here, okay, this becomes a neat list of here are my processes below this process group. Okay, so please disregard the numbering. The numbering is not intended to be stable over time. Whereas the coding that you find at the end of the capability or process or activity descriptor, this is intended to be a unique identifier.
That is the one that you would put into the custom attribute that I mentioned in our audio recording to say, okay, this is no matter if we rename, define business technology and governance strategy to whatever, we would still have that consistent number available.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you may even have, examples of larger organizations that have multiple implementations of a capability or process group where some, let's say, smaller countries or smaller subsidiaries implement a subset. So their numbering, they would not have a gap in numbering, right? Maybe they would only have three processes in this process group. But again, by virtue of the unique identifier, you would be able to tie it back with what's happening across all entities.
I love it. So let's go down, just keep going down the layers. Let's explode this out to see everything that there could be.
Oh, wow. You are a brave man.
Down a single stock.
Yeah, no, this is fair. So what I would like to, and you can see this becomes significantly more complete, but it's also starting to look more like that Excel spreadsheet that you're getting directly from APQC. What I would like to call out here is that you have a definition, not just of the elements of the model that's typically provided, but you also have suggested KPIs. So in this case, for IT business strategy, there are not as many KPIs, but you can see there's one that's populated here as well. Again, it comes with a unique identifier. And so you're able to take the model and to take it forward and apply it for benchmarking purposes. It also informs you as you are adding your own KPIs, as people are able to peruse the model to look at documentation provided by other stakeholders, it provides visibility into shared interests and concerns. So definitely a best practice to think about the model in also capturing the intent and how we would look at performance at the process and capability level.
Yeah, and APQC is happy for a fee to sell you, obviously, benchmark values to this. So more it's you and I, while we were working for the little audit firm, they have built it that way, So get all the processes and the KPI definitions into the modeling tool and have it available, but then build a dashboard that was linked to it, where you then could see, oh, yeah, this is an operational KPI that's available for this, for this process in this example. And then you could see, oh, I can filter by industry and then see what my three main competitors do and how I rate against them. So for a little fee, APQC is happy to sell you that too.
Yeah. Another small lesson learned, stakeholders care a lot about the language. What do you call a thing? They could not care less about the tag. So if you look at, again, element 20,677,
yeah,
define IT service catalog, if it's easier for your colleagues to understand that you're using a particular tool where the service catalog resides, and maybe there's even an opportunity to model down at the task level how what tasks would be performed in service of this activity, you're able to just be very flexible on what this is called, as long as you as long as whatever you're doing serves the same purpose and you preserve the tagging, that may make it easier for people in your organization to follow along what you're trying to do.
Wow, this is amazing. Well, it's a pleasure. This is a really good visual description or visual interface for the APQC PCF. And hopefully everyone who's watching has really enjoyed it. If you want to hear the full conversation with Moritz, you can go to whatsyourbaseline.com/episode54, which is our full examination of the APQC framework, the PCF, and of course, everything associated with best practices for using it for you and your organization. But I hope you enjoyed our little What's Your Baseline visual short that accompanied it. And once again, I'm J.M. Erlandson.
I'm Moritz Berger.
And my name is Roland Volt, and I didn't have a lot to say here.
And we will see you in the next one.